S&P futures are down more than 1% this morning, trading at 7,497 after closing near 7,578 on Thursday. That's a market digesting a lot of simultaneous bad news: active military conflict in the Middle East, semiconductor stocks in bear market territory, and a big earnings week approaching. Let's unpack each of those pieces.
The semiconductor bear market is the one that has the most direct structural story behind it. China's moonshot. AI released Kimi K3, a model that independent benchmarks are placing in competitive territory with the best American AI systems. The market reaction was severe. Chip stocks across the board sold off sharply enough to push the broader semiconductor index down more than 20% from its recent peak, which is the technical definition of a bear market.
The investor logic driving that sell-off is worth explaining clearly. NVIDIA's extraordinary valuation, and by extension the entire semiconductor ecosystem's valuation, rests on the assumption that frontier AI model development requires massive sustained compute investment that only American chip companies can supply at scale. If Chinese AI companies can build competitive models more efficiently, using a combination of domestically produced chips and algorithmic improvements, that undermines the long-term revenue growth assumptions embedded in current chip stock prices.
Big tech AI debt hitting $570 billion is the companion story to that sell-off. The major hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, have been financing their AI infrastructure build-out partly through debt issuance. At $570 billion, that's a substantial portion of corporate America's investment-grade bond market. The fact that bond investor demand is softening tells you that fixed-income investors are beginning to question whether the cash flows to service that debt are materializing on the promised timeline.
The Fed dimension adds another layer of complexity. Kevin Warsh, who replaced Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chairman, has eliminated forward guidance from his policy communications, meaning the Fed no longer telegraphs where interest rates are heading months in advance. The stated rationale is that forward guidance created excessive market dependence on Fed signaling, distorting asset pricing. The practical effect is that Wall Street firms are now building AI chatbots and dashboards specifically to parse Warsh's sparse public communications for any hint of policy direction.
Nomura economist Richard Koo's warning about Warsh's balance sheet plans is where this gets genuinely consequential. Koo argues that if the Fed shrinks its $6.7 trillion portfolio, which is what Warsh has signaled he wants to do, the resulting bond supply would steepen the yield curve. A steeper yield curve means higher long-term borrowing costs, which directly undercuts Trump's stated goal of lowering borrowing costs for homebuyers, businesses, and the federal government itself. The administration would be funding a Fed chair whose balance sheet policy conflicts with the administration's economic agenda.
Goldman Sachs recommending shorting the British pound is a natural extension of these dollar dynamics. A strong dollar, driven by the US economy's relative resilience and elevated interest rates, is bearish for sterling, which faces its own headwinds from the UK's ongoing fiscal pressures and slower growth trajectory. Goldman's specific trade recommendation suggests they see the divergence between the two currencies widening further in the near term.
Alex Karp's comments about AI inequality deserve serious engagement because he's not an outside critic. He's the CEO of Palantir, a company that's extracted enormous value from government AI contracts. Karp said explicitly that AI could make him 20 times richer while average workers' salaries merely double. And he called this divergence a complete decoupling and the biggest problem in this country. For the CEO of a major defense and intelligence AI contractor to say that out loud is either a genuine conscience moment or a calculated positioning, and possibly both simultaneously.
The H-1B cap closure story connects to Karp's point in a specific way. USCIS has confirmed it's closing the FY 2027 H-1B cap after filling all 85,000 slots under the new wage-based selection system, meaning the highest-paid positions now get priority. The U.S. labor market for highly skilled technical workers remains intensely competitive even as AI capabilities expand, which suggests the supply-demand dynamics in tech aren't collapsing the way some predicted. But the worker shortage story tells a different tale for the broader economy.
Indeed's chief economist is warning of a 6 million worker shortage by 2032 across sectors including healthcare, construction, and logistics, precisely the sectors that AI is least capable of replacing at scale in the near term. The economy is heading toward a bifurcation. Talent scarcity in physical world service jobs that require human presence, alongside intensifying displacement in knowledge work that AI can replicate. That's exactly the complete decoupling that Karp was describing.